Discerning Hearts provides content dedicated to those on the spiritual journey. To continue production of these podcasts, prayers, and more, go to discerninghearts.com and click the donate link found there or inside the free Discerning Hearts app to make your donation. Thanks, and God bless.
DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Good morning.
Happy Feast of St. Charbel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I pray for him every day. He's one of my favorite saints. I discovered him. I had a mass on his tomb when I was in Lebanon. He's one of the saints that my grandfather told me about when I was a little boy. He was very popular in Lebanon.
It's also the feast of St. Christina the Astonishing.
I don't know her.
1200s lived, and then she died. And they are having her mass, and she popped up in the casket and then promptly elevated all the way to the rafters of the cathedral, which kind of freaked everybody out. So they all left, and they all ran out of the church. Then she went out in the woods, and she was there for many years running around. But she would tell the tale of how when she had died, she would visit the souls in purgatory, or she had seen the souls in purgatory. And so when she came back, that was her big thing, was praying for
She's a 13th century saint.
Yep. Yes. So,
Our Lady took the children to see the souls in purgatory at Fatima. It's great.
Yeah, so quite a mystical day, I think. But aren't they all?
My experience was, when I was in Lebanon, I was told that they were kidnapping and killing Europeans and North Americans. Father Cluthers had been killed. He was from Holland. They wanted to really get rid of all Westerners. One of our newspaper men, Terry Anderson, had been kidnapped. One of the priests that went over with me, he and I went over together. He was a priest from Joliet, Illinois. Father Larry Jenko was kidnapped and eventually returned. But there was all kinds of things so that my superiors knew it would just be a matter of time that I would be picked up. And so I got word that I was to leave through one of the cardinals in Rome, that the Holy Father wanted all Westerners out of Beirut. And I got the word that I had 24 hours to leave Beirut, but I had some things that I really wanted to do, so I stayed there longer. And I was very high visibility. And so I was on the television, and it was Holy Week. And they were having an election of the patriarch. The bishops were gathering in the patriarchate, which was in Bakirki in Lebanon, outside of Beirut. And I was on television. And I was having a mass for about 1,000 Maronite Christians. Because of the war, there were many, many refugees who were Christians. And so I was having mass for them in this particular place. And so I said to them, was the patriarch during the time of Saint Charbel? And no one could answer that. There had to be at least 1,000 Maronites there. And I said, you know, what's most important is to be a saint. The patriarch is good, and he's a very important person. But much more important is to be a saint. Here we are, only 100 years from the time of the events of the patriarch and Charbel. And no one knows the name of the patriarch during his time. So this is really amazing. So we can forget very easily who the patriarch is, but we can't forget the saint, because he was the most popular saint in the whole Middle East, not just in Lebanon. People pray and honor Saint Charbel all over the Middle East, and now all over the world. So I thought it was a pretty good homily. And so the next day, that was Holy Thursday, and I was having lunch with the Maronite monks at the Catholic University. While I was there on Good Friday, one of the monks who was the postulator for St. Charbel's cause said to me, I hear you want to know who the patriarch was during the days of St. Charbel. I said, yeah. I asked the question and no one seemed to know. And he said, did you know that they died the same day? I said, I did not. The patriarch's name was Hanna Haj. Saint Charbel, Charbel Makhlouf, died that same day. There were 10,000 people at the patriarch's funeral at Bakirki. And there were 5, because all of the monks from the monastery went to the patriarch's funeral. They left this monk behind, and you'd have to know the word that was used for him, basit. Someone who's basit in Arabic is not just a simple priest, but he's like a simpleton. He was the one who really wasn't very smart. So that the mass for Saint Charbel was given to this priest, and they had the pallbearers bring his frozen body from his hermitage that was dead to bury him in the monastery cemetery. 50 years later, after his death, his tomb around his grave would light up at night. It would actually see lights coming from the tomb. And the people would be there, and they'd bring their babies that were sick. They'd bring their sick and suffering, and cures were being had. Tremendous graces were being poured out. And so they got permission to exhume his body, completely incorrupt after 50 years of being buried. And his sanctity, his holiness, he had been a hermit of years and years of prayer, of holiness. What a great saint he is, you know, today. I'm so glad we can honor him today. And I had Mass on his grave. I was there in Lebanon. And so that this great saint isn't that amazing? You know, how many people will come to your funeral? You know, and when you are holy, there's an eternity of life in front of you. When you are holy, which he was, he knew the value. Dependent on me. And for every nation. For America. For Canada. For Australia, for England, for Nigeria, for whatever country you may be from. We are a people who are dependent on God, a God-centeredness. And so especially those who are Christian. You know, this message that God is giving us, that when we depend on God, we are so powerful. And God provides for us each and every day. He wants to care for us. If our schools and universities are God-centered, they will produce again true learning. The university, it's the universe. What is the center of the university? God. Theology and the God-centeredness, the truth, because of all reality, is to teach about God. When we eliminate God from our schools, our school is not religion, it's the truth.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff in just a moment.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. Can you please help support this vital ministry? Discerning Hearts is a 100% listener-supported Catholic apostolate. Now through the end of August, please prayerfully consider making a sacrificial gift to help us raise $30,000 to fund truly life-changing Catholic programming and prayer. The financial contributions of listeners like you enables us to continue this important ministry. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations are fully tax-deductible. As an independent, non-for-profit lay organization that is not affiliated financially with any diocese, our apostolate is fully listener-supported. Again, between now and the end of August, please visit discerninghearts.com to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless you from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff.
When we eliminate God, even more importantly, from our families, the family, once it becomes so that it isn't dependent, no matter what your religion may be, God is the center of your family, not you. Our secular world, in its nominal nod to religion, really doesn't depend in your family life for the father, for the mother, for the children, for the unity of that family. We can get to where we are with single parenting. We can get to where we are in whatever kind of family life that has taken place as the ordinary way by which we live in the world today, because God has ceased to be the center and the heart of families. Every family unit which maintains a God-centeredness will have the awareness that he wants to bring it together. God always unites individuals, and self-reliance always divide. And that the divorce is really what takes place interiorly, long before it takes place with a piece of paper. Our court systems have failed now to our justice system. If it's not based on true morality, it's going to fail and it's going to fall apart. When I look at entertainment today, and if God doesn't get involved as the center of the entertainment world, then you get this production of the lewdness, the corruption. Our stars, our movie stars, are such examples over and over again what's happening. When there are individuals who have maintained their God-centeredness, but in the industry itself, the kinds of production, what marvelous, beautiful creations it can be. But so often, you know, the star, the self-indulgence, and so the drugs and the deaths and the suicides, you know, the poor, tragic life of a Michael Jackson, the beautiful singers that wind up over-drugged and dying, Elvis Presley. We have these who so-called idols, and they blow up in self-destruction. And the magnificent gifts that they have were not used. Our entertainment world, and especially in sports, look at the scandals, the drug relationship, and the kinds of things. When money, all this enhancement of self-centeredness takes over, will God be the center of America, or Canada, or Australia, or Indonesia, Europe, wherever? If there is the God-centeredness, then he will bring us into a new life, happiness, that what he did for the Jews in the desert, he wants to do for each of us. I am your God. I have made you and I love you. I have created you. I have created you as my children. I have created you as nations. And I love you and I want to be with you. The gospel that is like almost a story what's been happening to this magnificent word. It's a parable on the sower. And so as God speaks to us, listen to the word of God that comes to us from the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. On that day, and that's today, the feast of Saint Charbel, entering into your heart, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him. Then he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore, and he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on a path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Brothers and sisters and children, if you have ears to hear, listen and hear. Heed, pay attention, be attentive to what is being proclaimed here. It is the word of God that you're listening to. And when that enters into your heart, it will grow. Each day, God wants to take care of you. God is the center of the universe. The universe is a universe because he made it one. He is the world's creator. He is the world's source of life and love. And to neglect God is to neglect life, to choose other than that. Now, when you hear it, what kind of ground are you? What kind of fruit would you produce? Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you know, you, and even there, you have a potential. So do I. You know, am I a 30% product of that God-centeredness? I actually then can grow. Am I a 60? Who of us is 100%? God actually wants each of us to fulfill the fullest of love that we can. Only in God is my soul at rest. He alone is my Savior. When you have someone like Saint Charbel today to give us that example, he had been the treasurer of his community. And the cares and the interests of the of his order, and he was a good monk, and he belonged to the Maronite monks, but he saw that he was being distracted from God. And so he put it all aside and lived for 27 years as a hermit, prayed and offered his life. Some people will say, what a waste. And yet, look at all the good he did. The day he died was the day he began that new life in all eternity. And so now he was canonized in 1978, and that's when the world began to recognize that this world is so passing. And I think that story that you tell about St. Christina, Chris, is a magnificent one.
Well, we have lost, haven't we, Monsignor, a bit of the sense of the communion of the saints. I mean, we talk about them as though they're, we talk about their past lives and what they did, but how often do we talk about what they're doing today? And not just a handful of them, but all of them.
The saint is current, and he's as current as the now. And I experience the presence of these two saints with us right now as they begin to assist us in hearing the word of God and plowing our souls for a deeper seedling of that word in each of us so that in our time and in our day, they lived in the 13th century for St. Christina, mm-hmm. in the 19th century for St. Charbel, and we are in the 21st. But what they're connected to us. And eventually when we pass on, and we are going to be people who are here, and people of the 22nd century are here on this little globe for us, they're going to experience our presence with them. And so until then, we are being currently influenced by these magnificent saints. Yes, it's current as now.
And, you know, I think sometimes we focus on, we look at some of the events either surrounding their lifetime, extraordinary occurrences, or the extraordinary occurrences after their passing, and yet those extraordinary are actually ordinary things if we just have the faith to be open to see.
There are men, there are priests and seminarians, in silence, in contemplation, and in prayer. They speak to no one except me. They're in complete silence for 30 days. When a modern man, and these are modern men, enter into solitude and silence for 30 days. Charbel did it for 27 years. But is there a man out there who could be listening to this, who could be called to a life of prayer and a life to dedicate yourself totally to God? When Jesus said in today's gospel, some will produce 100-fold. Are you that one that can do that? And do you hear that? And is Saint Charbel and the Holy Spirit encouraging you to go for it? You might even be considering it. And that the Holy Spirit knows the invitation he may be giving you to go 100% for God. And to do it for the next 27 years or whatever it is, from now until eternity.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com. And join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.